Moncrief on News Talk.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome back. Tom Dunn with you, standing in for Sean today. 53106 is the text number, or you can WhatsApp 087 1400 106. On today's show, well, movies and booze coming up after three. But before that, is your home decor keeping you single? If you've been trying to meet someone and occasionally it might bring somebody back, and that's where it all goes pear-shaped. Is it your decor? We look into that for you. And a rare oarfish has been sighted on a Clare beach, which could mean the end of days is just around the corner. If the end of days is around the corner, you need to be as happy as you can before we get there. Question is, when do you reach peak happiness in life? It can't be defined by an age. A new survey from oral health brand TP has found that 47 is apparently the age people felt at their absolute happiest. I don't know about that myself, but let us know what you think. 53106. First though, Josh Crosby has been out and about looking into what makes people happy as he joins us now in studio. Josh, you've out there, you've been asking the hard questions.
I have. And look, people are happy, and I suppose there are two things going for people's happiness radar today, if you like. It's a Friday and it's sunny. Actually, there are three things. It's a bank holiday Friday, so people are, they're coming in now maybe after work, they're looking at the clock, they're thinking, ticking down the hours, they're going off for their plans, whatever they have for the weekend. But look, I personally don't believe happiness can be pinpointed to someone's age, but the people doing this survey found that 47 was when people felt their happiest, and the main reason being given is that they felt less concerned about their appearances and focused more on their own well-being and lifestyle. So look, I said we do our own little News Talk survey, if you like, and I've been asking people on the streets of Dublin what stages of their lives were the happiest and what brings happiness into their lives today.
I think about 55. You've got kids that finished college, your money's your own, your house is your own, more control is your own.
What's been the happiest part of your life, or what makes you happy?
I think maybe my mid-20s is happiest.
Fewer responsibilities, carefree. Yeah,
exactly. No mortgages, no major commitments, I guess.
The 80s, even though there was a lot of emigration out of the country and all. My happiest memories when I was young in the 80s, just seemed simple at the time. Everybody was poor.
What would you say makes you happy today?
When I have no things to do, when I just have time to myself, meditate or go to the gym.
When I was a kid, I think for now, for me, because I'm in my 30s, I think when I was a kid, when my family had to provide for me, it was better, because now I'm struggling.
What would you say makes you happy today?
It's a new day, sunny day. I slept, I woke up, so I'm grateful.
What do you think is the peak age for happiness, looking back now of today?
When you retire.
When you retire?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you keep routine, life is brilliant.
Why, how are you enjoying retirement?
Brilliant. Enjoying the free travel.
The free travel brings you happiness?
Well, not just happiness, it just brings you a bit of life. It gives you a bit of freedom. Something you never got before in your life.
And you're making use of it?
Oh, definitely. All the time. As much as possible.
What would you say makes you happy today now?
Health. That's more important than anything else.
What brings you happiness today?
My kids.
Back in the 90s, you know what I mean, when everything was legal.
What brings happiness into your life?
Happiness? Well, I'm bleeding now. Walking around freedom, innit? I was in prison for most of my life.
I'd say in my 40s. Yeah, definitely my 40s.
Why were your 40s so fun?
My life came together more.
And today, what makes you happy? What brings happiness into your life?
Well, if I could walk properly again, I'd be over the moon.
Well, that was fairly definitive there, Josh. We had the 50s, being around 55, your mid-20s. It was a great time to be happy. When you retire is a good time to be happy. Just having your health is a good time to be happy. Being 40 was a good time. When your parents were able to pay for everything for you.
Yeah.
An ideal time.
Yeah, no, it's a mix for everyone. Look, it depends on the person.
It does. Yeah. But yeah, you have to say all boxes were ticked there. There are people who think being a child was your happiest time. There are people who think when you retire is your happiest time. So I'm afraid this 47 thing is looking, you know, it's looking shaky. Have we any signs or anything at all?
Well, I did. So again, like I was told, why people feel happier as they get older is that they just don't care what people think anymore. So look, maybe we should all take a leaf out of that book. But look, it's hard. It's understandable. It's hard when you're young. You're wanting to impress and make an impact. But I met with someone who does know about all this, and that's Brendan Kelly, who's a professor of psychiatry at Trinity College. Now, Brendan does not only work and specialise in this area every day, but he's also the author of the book, The Science of Happiness. I met Professor Kelly to hear his thoughts on this, and I started off by asking him if there's any truth at all to there being a peak age for happiness.
There are average trends. So mostly, if people are healthy into later life, they tend to become happier in their 70s or 80s.
With your own work now in your research, what would be the core principles for someone to be happy?
Well, there's a couple of core principles for happiness. The first one, it's a little bit boring, is having a degree of balance in your life, which means working for sure and studying, but also finding a hobby or a pastime that completely absorbs you. Something you get really into, like gardening or walking or reading or playing music, it absorbs you and you forget all about time. That's the first thing that's really, really important. The second thing is cultivating friends, having people in your life, but also stepping away from them. Remember, your friends' views and opinions are interesting, but they're not the final word. You decide what you want to do.
And I suppose in a world where people's lives are becoming busier and busier, there maybe less time for themselves, that they're exposed to more negative events, they're seeing it daily. Is it becoming harder and harder for people to be happy?
We're getting very absorbed in negative news cycles, negative social media feeds and similar things. It is important to step back from that from time to time. We can do very simple physical things. Keeping our mobile phones out of our bedrooms at night is the single biggest step we could all take towards happiness.
For someone listening now today, what are kind of short-term little mindful techniques that they can incorporate into their day if they're down and they're in a bad mood?
Okay, well, the first thing is to focus on your physical body rather than your thoughts. If your thoughts are caught in a negative thought spiral, you just keep thinking negative things, you won't think your way out of that. You will behave your way out of that. So for someone listening today, that might mean standing up, stepping outside for 2 or 3 minutes, and simply, if you like, reconnecting with the present moment in that way. It doesn't always help to think about the big picture all the time, you know, because we don't really understand the big picture too much. And thinking about the future tends to make us anxious. Thinking about the past tends to make us depressed. So maybe focusing on small details in your day, focusing on small activities and noticing when you do them well. For example, I'm really excellent at making a cup of tea and I rarely congratulate myself for that.
Very interesting. So, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, Brendan Kelly, with some useful tips and techniques. Not getting carried away and focusing on the big picture seems that is, if you are spiraling, it is trying to think what is the future? What does the dark future hold for me?
And I really liked his words that you can't think your way out of it.
Yeah.
That you actually have to maybe, if you can, if you're in a position to get up, get moving, get out in the air, if it's possible for you. So yeah, I really like those words that you can't think your way out of it.
Right. Fabulous stuff. So in terms of things that people can do to help them cheer up.
Well, look, it has to be said from the outset as well, like, we're not offering any health advice here. I'm certainly not qualified to do that, so I wouldn't even try. But on a lighthearted note, there are actual meetups and classes where people go and they can just laugh. And sure, what can be wrong with having a laugh, Tom? So laughter yoga is taking off here in Ireland. Yes, you heard that right. Laughter yoga. Now, it's not what people might imagine traditional yoga to be. It's purely in the name. You go, you have a laugh and you keep on laughing. It actually started back in 1995 in Mumbai and has now spread around the world as participants, I suppose, they feel the benefits from it. And it's not about jokes or comedy or being funny. It's actually more so forcing yourself to laugh, combining in breathing techniques on purpose and allowing it to impact how you feel. So I met with Patrick Clark, who runs Dublin's Best Kept Secrets Tour, and he's also worked as a laughter yoga teacher. Patrick explains how it all works.
So laughter yoga is something that was designed specifically to cause people to have the dopamine in their brain be released through laughter. So what we're doing is we cause people to laugh through their body. We're not telling jokes in the class or anything like that. So we're playing laughing games.
Many people will be familiar with yoga, but can you just paint a picture of the exercises? What actually happens inside the room?
So first of all, the word yoga means unity. People think the word yoga means exercise. It doesn't. It means unity. What we do is we bring them into the class and we sit around in a circle and we tell everybody the truth, which is that this is a safe space, that it's a sealed container, so you're free to move around and do whatever you like, and nobody's going to be walking in or walking out. And then we play laughter games. So the best way to do it is to describe one of the games. So what I tell people is, okay, everybody, all the cars and all the taxis are all stopped working now in Dublin, but you have to go to work. It's Monday morning, you have to go to work. So how you're going to go to work is you're going to go on your laughing bicycle. So I get them to put out both their hands, grab the handlebars of their laughing bicycle, and if they want their bicycle to move forward, they themselves have to be laughing. I go 1, 2, 3, and they all rush together into a big mosh of people all roaming around, laughing.
And then it's contagious. Once the laughing starts, it continues on.
There's a point in the class around the halfway mark, 10, 15 minute mark, where people will switch over from laughing through their body to naturally laughing because it just becomes contagious.
So for anyone listening, we're not going to be giving out health advice, but if they're looking for a lift, maybe try force yourself to have a laugh and then the laughing will continue.
Oh, I have an idea. They can find laughter yoga on YouTube and also the Zoom calls where people, laughter yoga teachers, will, you can connect with them and you do it using your computer. Do it for 5 minutes or 20 minutes and it will really put you in a good mood.
Very good. Dublin tour guide and laughter yoga teacher Patrick Clark. I find the idea, if he stopped at customs or going into America, you know, what is it you do yourself? I'm a laughter yoga teacher. I don't know, would they greet you with open arms with that? You're getting here just in time.
Yeah, you're bringing smiles to people,
Get in. Yeah. You've tried that though, haven't you, yourself?
I did it once in Kinvara in Galway, and as Patrick was explaining there, it actually is contagious. So you're forcing yourself to laugh, but then you're looking at your friend over the other side of the room and you just laugh at the ridiculousness of what we're actually doing here. And
so it is contagious, literally contagious.
You start naturally laughing. But look, it's different for everyone. Have you tried it yourself?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
What would you say brings laughter into your life or happiness? Is it play music, on air?
All of those things. I'm feeling very lucky. I do an awful lot of things that I love that I couldn't imagine retiring from. So, you know, and I get absorbed in them and I enjoy them. You know, here I am chatting to you. chatting to you in the middle of the day.
That's good to hear. I take that as a
guess.
Yeah. But when they were saying like different stages, would you have had a period, was it when rock and roll was in its prime?
No, very simple. The first two decades when my parents were looking after me, that was fantastic. The second two decades, I was in a band. That was fantastic.
Sure it was.
The last two decades, I have for my family, that's been fantastic, right? So couldn't pick one of them. They've all been great.
Very good.
More of that, please.
And look, it is different for everyone. As we heard from Professor Brendan Kelly, there are trends and there are averages for ages. But then, like we heard in the first clip, as you were saying, there was everything. The happiest times of their childhoods to retirement. And it can be simple things like the sun shining today. Then for others, they want to go on that extravagant holiday, the cruise, each to their own time. But with the recent good weather, I said, where better to head for than the coast? And what do you do with the coast? Yourself?
Ooh, you swim, don't you?
You can swim, you can relax.
And having you get ice cream.
Exactly. Yes. The classic 99, Tom. So I popped into Teddy's in Dunleary and I met with Fiona, who was there. She was flat out pouring ice cream and bringing smiles to people's faces.
It's really good. I do really like seeing, like, you know, like the kids, and they look so happy when you give them that, like, 99.
Wait, what do you think it is about ice cream when you go to the beach or you go to the coast? Does it bring back nostalgia for people? Is it memories or is it just a simple taste of ice cream?
I think so, because loads of people come back, like they're travelling and they lived in Ireland before, and they come back and they say, oh, like I had to get a 99 as soon as I came back. I've had people say that it's like a childhood memory for them, definitely.
And what, so when you hand over the cone, the 99, straight away you can see a child's face beam up?
Their eyes definitely light up when they see it. Or like when they watch you make it, you can like see them jumping up over the counter.
And maybe not even a child, all ages?
Yeah, actually loads of like grannies and granddads as well, like they love it.
And what would you say is the most popular ice cream? What brings the biggest smile?
Definitely like a traditional 99, that's what everybody wants.
And does it change among the age groups? Like, do children go for the sundaes or the different sprinkles?
Well, I'd say kids definitely love sprinkles more, but it's the traditional 99 that everybody likes.
The 99 is still the winner?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's lovely to hear those little happiness coming their way with that. What are you going to do now after this, Josh? Are you heading out for a...
Well, it is a bank holiday Friday.
Yeah.
And I have a stag party tomorrow. So there'll be refreshments, there'll be ice cream, there'll be dancing.
That sounds fantastic. Josh, thank you very much.
Thank
have
you.
A great weekend. And do listeners, do please let us know the secret you have found for happiness.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.